The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. Thank you for tuning in this weekend here. As you guys may know, we do tape it during a weekday, so don't call me on a weekend. Anyway, welcome to Generations Radio. As you guys know as well, you can go on to our YouTube channel. Just look for Generations Magazine, and you can listen see all our past shows. Thanks to Mapu, our social media girl, who's been getting all our shows up on our YouTube channel page. So check on that. I know a lot of you have been asking for resources, so please check out. We should have by now close to 20 or 30 shows up on our YouTube channel. Very shortly, we'll have our website linked there, so you'll be able to watch it from our website as well. So anyway, thank you for joining. Thank you for checking out the magazine. Our June-July issue is flying off the racks here, and I know it's at every doctor office, so please, when you're in a doctor's office, don't take a copy with you, because we only send one per doctor office, and I know people complain that they can't find it. So anyway, best thing to do, if you go online, go to generations808.com, look on the second to the left tab on the issues, and all the issues are posted there from the very first one we have with Kirk Matthews. If you don't go online or you don't go on a computer, you can always go to any state library, ask a librarian or a resource person there if they can borrow one of their computers, and she can just type in Generations Magazine or generations808.com for our website, and you can check us out there. So anyway, a past guest we had on a while back, we have her back, and we're going to really focus more. We talk about caregiving, we talk about how to finance long-term care, but you know, we haven't really done much on how to support the caregiver. So today we have Pamela Ani, the founder of CG Refresh and Renew. That's a local company that specializes in therapy and helping and supporting our caregivers out in the public there. So welcome to the show, Pamela. Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
So I understand you have two offices, and you're living in Hilo now part-time and living in Honolulu part-time.
Honolulu and Hilo, the best of the two worlds.
Yeah, you do. That's God's country over there. My dad's from Hilo, by the way. Anyway, give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself and really, you know, why you're still doing what you're doing after all these years.
And it's really funny that you would say that, because we were just talking earlier that when we turn 80, we still want to be going strong and active. And so hopefully I'm still doing this at 80 and 90. But I taught school for a little over 15 years. I was also school principal, worked with children with learning disabilities, specifically high school students. And when my grandmother passed away, she had a dementia, and which we now recognize it probably a little better as specifically Alzheimer's. But I just needed to be around other grandmothers who could love on me and I could love on them and give back to them what I know perhaps the families were in need of as well. And so what I did is I went from education to going and working with Alzheimer's. I joined the Alzheimer's Association. I was with them for a little over 4 years,
right?
Worked with their programs.
That's where I first met
you. Yes, and absolutely loved my time there. I treasure those excellent memories. I decided that I wanted to go specifically into assisting to help take care of caregivers. I was under the impression up until just about a year or so that about 40% of caregivers end up in the hospital before their loved one does. Maryland just recently did a intensive study, and they have determined that 70% of caregivers actually will pass away before the loved one does.
That's a big number.
It is huge. And I had to look at it and look at it and look at it. And I just kept reviewing the numbers because I'm thinking, this can't be right. But it just to know how devastating it is for a caregiver to be under that stress load.
Yeah.
It's just it's staggering.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you back on here, because in my own personal life, I know three people that their mother was taking care of dad and mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And so now what do you do? So anytime I find out somebody's being a caregiver to somebody, it's really important that they understand why it's important for them to stay healthy as much as possible.
Exactly.
They don't really realize it. You know, you've done some caregiving. The caregiver wants to do their best. They love their parent or loved one, and they want to do the best they can, not realizing that statistics have already shown that their life expectancy goes down.
It does. What happens with that is it's almost like a vacuum, because the caregiver is constantly running cover, running to fill the void, as you may put it, because as our loved one is losing their ability to function as what we knew them to function as, then all of a sudden, as a caregiver, we're running cover to protect them and to also, in many cases, to keep other people from seeing the lack thereof and that whole vulnerability of the person and trying to protect their dignity as well, not wanting others to recognize how far they're going down. And so as the caregiver is going in and running intercession, as you may put it, for their loved one, they are now beginning to live the lives of two people, then they lose who they are. They lose their own identity, what they love, what excites them. And then the stress level goes up. When the stress level goes up, all of the bugs come along and they catch whatever the grandbabies may be bringing home or the children are bringing home. And before you know it, now they are sick and the family is having two people to take care of. The other challenge with that one is that most of the caregivers in the state of Hawaii have to make a decision that they will stop working, which we also understand that they at that point lose their health care. So they're not going to go to the doctor when they have a cold. They're not going to see the doctor just because there's a flu bug going around. And then they're not going to do their regular checkups.
Yeah, it's so common. But anyway, so you started your own company.
I did.
And so you have an office in Hilo and an office in Honolulu.
I have an office in Hilo and Honolulu. I provide therapy, resources for caregivers and their families with any age-related dementia. So it's not just specifically Alzheimer's. I'm also providing consulting for businesses and professionals who work with seniors.
Yeah, that's really, really important.
Because more and more of people, banks, even general physicians, real estate agencies, et cetera, they're all working with the aged of the seniors. And they need to know how to also communicate and deal with some of those cuckoo behaviors in a professional way. And then also being able to go into the homes and giving the family members tools where they can even come in and do a monitoring system. They may be hundreds of miles away, but they can look in on grandma and grandpa with what we go in and set up with their homes.
Yeah. Well, I want to focus on, you know, the caregiver issue, because I know, you know, you're going to do a presentation, a webinar for us, for our other organization, HPGS, in a week or so. But you titled your presentation "Refresh and Renew." That's part of the name of your company.
It is.
Can I ask why you named it that way?
Oh my goodness! I was raised by a grandmother who felt this huge urgency of instilling scriptures in her children, and so my brother and I would sit down at the table, and she'd read the Bible to us, or she would pray. She always was the praying grandmother. And one of the scriptures she taught was to be refreshed by renewing your mind and teaching us that no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, if we can learn to see it differently, then we're not so susceptible to the stress or the sadness or the depression that may come with that overwhelming situation. And it dawned on me about a year or so ago that this is what we try to do for caregivers. And if I can just be very candid, there's crap on the floor. Do we smile? Do we cry? Do we scream? Do we yell at our loved one for crapping on the floor? Or do we just smile and make a little joke and clean it up and keep going? So we have to see the situation different so that doesn't impact us the way that it would be negative. And learning how to be refreshed by renewing the way we perceive our situation to be.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I have mentioned this on the show before that I had a friend. The father, she was an only child. The father was a professional. And when he would get mad at her, when she didn't do what he wanted her to do, he would poop on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And he knew he's not picking it up. So nobody else coming into this house but you and me. So if I don't pick it up, it's going to stay there until you pick it up. And he would do it on purpose.
Yep.
And, you know, I still see her once a month. And it's something that's the reality of life.
That's the reality.
And people deal with things like that differently. And with your years of experience with Alzheimer's Association, but even as an educator, it's really important. We're in the next week, we're going to have on actually a friend of mine who's dealing with caregiving with his mother. So from a firsthand experience, what he's going through with the Medicare rehab and emplacement, and then he goes still sees her every day. She's at a facility now, but people just don't understand that it's going to take a toll on her life. Hopefully they knew by now, because I know the advertiser did a big story on it a couple of weeks ago called The Graying of Hawaii. They brought that back from about 7 years ago. And the issues of aging, the issues of caregiving and long-term care is just huge. So you're actually in the right field, unfortunately. But, you know, it can be a great experience too, right?
I have met so many wonderful people. And, again, just being loved on by seniors, knowing that my grandmother is no longer with me, but there are other wonderful grandmothers who I am able to work with, but then they give back to me as well. I think one of probably the saddest situations that I found myself, and you're talking about the refresh and renew, seeing things a different way, is it's one thing for a child to take care of an aging parent, but to have a spouse coming in and having to redefine that relationship that they have with somebody who was their soulmate. It was their intimate partner. It was somebody they slept with. It was somebody they ate with. It was somebody they showered with. They fought with them. They made up with them. They laughed with them. And now all of a sudden, they are put in a position where they are now the giver, and that person that they once knew is painfully, slowly fading away. And it's a slow death. And it's difficult for sometimes spouses to make that transition.
It is. And you know, we're seeing that more and more. I know the university, was it University of Hawaii, or was it the one that they got a $3 million grant to go out and educate professionals about about how to diagnose Alzheimer's?
Yes.
Like I was mentioning to some people the other night, last night actually. So why do they need to do that? Shouldn't doctors know how to diagnose? Yes and no. Do they do it on a regular basis? Probably not. Do they have to do it? Probably not. They don't have the time.
And in the state of Hawaii, we're one of the few states that this has not been mandated yet, is that the general physician does not have to put it in the
records. So there are states that mandate this?
Yes. Ah. But we are one that doesn't. So the doctor can treat the patient as if there were some form of dementia without it having to go into the medical records. And there's a lot of reasons why. But one of the saddest reasons why is the stigma the families feel that's there. And this is why, too, the caregiver gets so burned out, because they have this overwhelming just obsession that they've got to protect the dignity of the loved one. And
I can see that. But, I mean, trust me, we're going to get this out there. Hopefully by the end of the year, people are going to see Alzheimer's in a different light.
Yeah.
And caregiving is in a different light. But, you know, we're here with Pamela Ani from Caregiver Refresh and Renew, a company that specializes in consultation and really supporting the family with this disease, and actually, you know, trying to keep you, the caregiver, refreshed and renewed. But real quickly, so let's just break it down, because I still, even I've heard it 100 times, Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia.
Yes.
So I thought it was the other way around. I thought Alzheimer's was the big disease and dementia was a part of it, but it's just the opposite. Dementia is the big disease, right?
It is. And I'll just funny thing, growing up in West Virginia, I always knew of it as the old timers. I didn't realize it was Alzheimer's. I thought it was old timers disease, because that's what they would call it.
Right.
But I also want to tell you, and I'm a little off track here, but in America, there are over 200,000 people that have been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's,
yes.
and they are below the age of 60.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, just to know this is not an age-related dementia.
It's growing. We had Dr. Corey Leal on here last year, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how that actually, you know, it's interesting you say that, because just 2 weeks ago, they had a senior summit with Elderly Affairs Division from the city put that on, about 300 people at the Blaisdell. And I saw a fraternity brother of mine. He's 5 years older than me. He's 62. Well, he came in holding his wife's hand. I've met her before, and I've known him for probably 25 years. He's a younger, he's an older member of my fraternity, and he was holding her hand constantly. And I was, and I came when he walked up to me, realized she's got Alzheimer's, and she got it 4 years ago.
Wow.
And so,
and that's so difficult, you know. Like I said, with the spouses, it's just it's challenging for them to move. And so, I just.
Hopefully he's listening.
I'm so very proud of spouses who can step up to the plate and do that. And then and to keep the dignity of their loved one at that same time while
he brought her to the all-day workshop. So he just sat her down in his chair next to him and made sure she didn't run off.
Yeah.
Made sure she was occupied or just sat there. And I give the guy a hell of a lot of credit.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
But I did forewarn him. I told him, read the magazine, go online, listen to shows, because I'm worried at his age of 62, where he's been caregiving for her probably since 60, that he's got to be very careful.
Now, and if I can throw one more thing in here too, because we were talking about Alzheimer's and then the other forms of dementia as well. So you've got your Parkinson's disease, you've got your Lewy body disease.
I didn't know Parkinson's was part of that.
All of these come under that umbrella of dementia, because they all have a form of a dementia that it's another name for memory loss. That's all it is.
Right.
But one of the things we're also finding out is that very few people have Alzheimer's exclusively. Much of the population has dual diagnosis. So you've got your Parkinson's Alzheimer's combo. You've got all these other variables that are in there, and it's really important to get it diagnosed. A lot of families just say, well, let's just give her medication so that she's not saying the F word over the dinner party, you know, or she's or he's not running around. And I had one of the, I don't know why we're on this, the feces concept again, but he would go around picking up dog feces, put them in little baggies and bring them home and tie them on his fence. There's just little idiosyncrasies. We don't understand why they do what they're doing, but sometimes the parents or the families will just say, let's just give them medication. We don't need to necessarily do a diagnosis, but you could treat the Alzheimer's. But if there is Parkinson's, if you treat the Parkinson's, then perhaps you can eliminate some of the tremors or the falls that come with that, because with Parkinson's, there's a weakening of the whole body system. And so you can go and run intervention, and you know how to better deal with your
loved
one.
That's really what it is, to understand it. Was that one of the first things they need to do,
diagnose.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong, they have to go understand the disease first, right?
Exactly.
They need to know what to expect.
Exactly. And then accept it.
That's the hard part, too, though. It is hard because they don't want to accept it.
No.
But, you know, so why don't we say, well, why do I need to get her diagnosed? I say her, the wife. But why does somebody need to get diagnosed?
Because there are curable things to cause dementia as well as the uncurable. Something as simple as grandpa not drinking enough water can cause memory loss. Something very simple as grandma needing vitamin B because it's not breaking down in her system. Give her a couple of shots. She's good for go in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Get Papa on a regimen of drinking enough water. Maybe they're needing more vegetables in their diet. They're not getting enough of that vitamin D. We're finding huge, huge things with the vitamin D and the niacin and the vitamin B complex with our seniors. We're putting them on these things and finding out, hey, they're almost back to normal. And so
I've heard stories like that. Actually.
You
You're
want
right.
it diagnosed. You want to know what you're working with.
Yeah. And it's so true. But, you know, there's a famous women's basketball coach, Pat Summitt, yes. who got diagnosed as, and she was the winningest coach in women's basketball history from Tennessee. Yeah. And she got diagnosed, I think, in her early 50s.
She was.
She passed away a couple of years ago, I think, in her late 50s, but if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, that was the first well-known person to get it. And she stood up and said, I have it. It's coming. I'm retiring from coaching. And it kind of opened everybody's eyes up, for a little while at least. But I think it's something that's really important. And I heard from Dr. Corey Liao over at Hawaii Pacific Neuroscience that they actually have detected a gene.
Yes.
That's 100% chance you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, off the radio, I said, should I get checked? And he goes, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
At so early age, you don't know exactly when you're going to get it. And then you can't, there's nothing that can stop it or slow it down, right?
Okay. There's no medication to stop it, slow it down. There's absolutely nothing that can be done. The gene is the gene. It's there. You right. can't do anything about the gene. But we're also finding out people who stay more active, people yeah. who will eat healthier, and we're talking about more of the Mediterranean diet type of a lifestyle, they do not evolve into full-blown dementia. And so and this is another reason why, too, we always say, I'm not just sure you need to go and do this thing for the gene, because if you knew you had the gene, at that point, you know, fear, if nothing else, yeah, can yes. push you into it. Yes. And
well,
so
I would complete my
just,
bucket list, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Earlier.
But just stay active, because yeah. staying active, eating healthy, drinking plenty of water, this is something that's going to be good for all of us. I mean, look at it. Unless we get hit by a car, we are all going to go either with something wrong with the head, the heart, or the gut. Bottom line.
That's true.
Okay?
Good way to put it.
So what do you do for all three of those? Stay active, be loving, be compassionate so you don't have any regrets when you go to sleep at night, mm-hmm. and just be as eating as healthy as you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And so crossword puzzles, what's that thing? What's that Japanese word puzzle, number puzzle? So Sudoku?
Sudoku?
That doesn't help?
Okay. Sudoku, these are all great for building other connections in the brain. And one of the wonderful things about the brain is when parts of the brain die, other parts take over. So if you have parts of the brain that have been formed and stretched, where you may have the frontal lobes to begin to die first, which is what happens with Alzheimer's, you've got other parts of the brain to take over. Now, I don't know if you were able to get in and study any more on Summit, the basketball coach. However, she one of the things that happened is they realized she had early onset, much earlier, but she was such a brilliant person, she was able to mask it. And
really?
Many didn't pick it up.
Wow.
So what you want to do is you want to, at that point, you want to tune into your loved one. See that if there are changes, be close enough to somebody that you can speak to them about it, because this is all part of the diagnosis. That's so important.
Interesting. Yeah, it's something that I think more and more of us have started thinking about. Because 200,000 in a nation is a lot. I mean, we didn't start talking about this until maybe a few years ago.
Of right? the younger onset. But now, I'm going to throw one more figure in there. It is assumed, and I don't think we're that quite off base, that only 40% of people have actually been diagnosed.
Right. I've heard of that figure. That's a scary figure.
Yeah.
Because we have, 28,000 people that have been diagnosed in Hawaii?
Yes.
That means that figure is going to more than double. And I've heard anywhere from 38,000 to 50,000 people will be diagnosed in the next 5 years. That's a scary thought. You know.
Right now, it is one out of every three that have been one out of every seven that have been diagnosed.
Wow.
By early 2020, even up to 2023. It's going to be one out of every three of us above the age of 65 that would be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease.
And over the age of 85, it goes up like almost 50%, right?
Yes, it does.
So my parents are both over 85. I tell you, just imagine one of them will get it, but I don't think so. They're so sharp. I mean, I see my dad slowing down a little bit. He's made 89 early this week, and I had dinner with him last night. Like, wow, He's still pretty sharp. So I do test him a lot. I tend to do that a lot. You got to check the old memory and new memory, right? But anyway, we're here with Pamela Alney from Caregiver or CG Refresh and Renew. We're talking about how to support a caregiver. I know we talked a lot about Alzheimer's dementia, but the second half is going to be really about how to support the caregiver, little tips on things, what they can do. And as Pamela's a consultant, so you might want to hire her, but really, it's really important just to understand where to go. And she has all the resources, a lot more than I do, by the way. Anyway, we're here. We're Generations Radio. We'll be back shortly after this break, so hold on there.
With Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690 The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilimaatlehano.com. Or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4- and 5-night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include three meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. Our June-July issue is out. Our August will be out very shortly, featuring the master ukulele master, Mr. Roy Sukuma. I said master twice, didn't I? Anyway, Roy Sukuma is on the cover. Gosh, he's going to be 70, 71 years old, still going strong, has four studios. It's a great piece. I mean, if you don't know his story, it's a must read. This is a guy that didn't graduate high school. This is a guy that didn't know where life was going to be the next day. And, you know, somehow music fell into his life, and then specifically ukulele. Ota-san said, you know, you should do this. And then after a while, he said, you should teach people to where he's so successful today. And if you haven't got a chance, probably might be done by now, but every Wednesday night – at the zoo during the summer. He puts on these concerts. I would highly recommend you go. It's cool. You can bring in your own chair. You can bring in your own cooler. You can bring your own table for the kids. It's amazing. Just bring a little cart, and it's a great deal. If you're a zoo member, it's free. But anyway, so don't forget, August 19th is our Aging in Place event at the Ala Moana Hotel. It's our 11th annual Aging in Place workshop. It's from 8:30 to 2:30. Please don't call me. No reservations. Just come on down. What happens a lot of times, you'll call me. Do I need to make reservations? No. Do you have to RSVP for specific workshops? No. Is there parking? Yes. Park at the Ala Moana Hotel. And parking downstairs in the hotel might be kind of full, but they validate. But today, as you guys know, if you validated a hotel, it's still going to cost you money. Yeah. But we have 18 different workshops going on at one time throughout the morning. So check us out. If you have any questions, you can call or email me. My email is percy@generations808.com. But it's very full, so it's first come, first serve. Bring a friend. Bring a notebook. We'll have over 70 exhibitors. But you want to check out our June, July issue because you need to strategize which rooms you want to go to because they will be full. Thanks to our sponsors, and check out the magazine. Anyway, it's August 19th, 8:30 to 2:30. Come early, stay late. It's all day. And thanks to all our sponsors. So anyway, I did want to mention, I heard about this issue many years ago, but I just realized that more and more people are looking for jobs. More and more companies are looking for employees, and more people need to think back. I'm 60 years old. I'm retired. Now what? So maybe you want to do like Pamela did, start her own company. But very soon we're going to have Carlene McKay. She's a national speaker on workforce development, and she'll be talking about from both sides, work for employees and employers, what to do as we age, because she's 81. And she, her story is really great, why she did what she did, and going to help us with our Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society workshop. Job fair is on August 26th at the Catholic Charities campus up at Keamoku Street, Keamoku and Nehoa. August 26th is 9 to 1 o'clock. So Carlene will be helping us work on that as well. So anyway, as you guys know, you can go to our YouTube channel. Thanks to Mapu here, who posts all our shows on our YouTube channel under Generations Magazine. And then on our Facebook page, Generations Magazine Facebook page, she has posts 3 to 4 days a week. And so thanks to her work, she's doing a great job. In fact, she's videotaping me right now. So she might post that pretty soon, too. So Pamela, luckily Pamela dressed really nice. You always dress really nice. But we're here with Pamela Ani from CG Refresh and Renew. It's a relatively new company, but Pamela's been doing this for a while. And as a, you know, as a former educator, you're really good at explaining things. I'm not the best. I go straight to it. You know, we're a guy, right, Larry? We're a guy. We go straight to the point. Where you really do explain it properly, and that's one of the things I'm working on. But Alzheimer's dementia is the numbers are going to double in the next few years. People that have been documented to have it, yeah?
It is. Right now, and just to give you statistics as far as percentages go, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, it's run out of every 7 of us. And by the year 2000 or 2023, somewhere between 2023, 2025, it's going to be 1 out of every 3 of us that will be diagnosed.
And that's the scary part.
It is.
And as you age older, like I said, past the age of 8 to 5, it's 1 in 2. National statistics is 49, yes. But you know why we live longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a scary thought, isn't it?
It is. It is scary. It's overwhelming. And I know that there were a couple of times I had discussions with some practitioner friends of mine. And for those of us, as we study and do more research into any age-related dementia, I think there are 2 fears that come upon us, and that is that either we will be diagnosed or we will have the calling to take care of our loved one who may end up with some form of dementia.
Well, I'm happy to say, by the way, since you mentioned that, I got long-term care insurance. So
I do too.
I just got it. my parents, who I had dinner with my dad last night, we were talking about this in the 70s when he's 80, he just made 89. Around the age of 75, I got in this business about, 15 years ago. And we talked about this issue of long-term care and everything. And he goes, oh, don't worry about me. I said, what do you mean? Well, I'm a veteran. I get VA. I said, well, you know, let me go check into that. Well, no. VA, there's a great facility out in the Hilo, actually, Okutu Center, that has VA hospital. I have about 120 beds or something like that, but it's not 100% full. And what I, in fact, they've been on the show, is that for a veteran to use that facility, you have to be disability from active duty.
Yes.
And it's got to be 70% disability. My father has a little bit, maybe 5%, but he's still playing tennis three times a week. But he said, I said, no, you don't qualify for that. Well, I'll go to Tripler. Well, Tripler's got, what, 12 or 20 beds? That's it.
Right.
And so I said, well, you don't qualify. He goes, well, I'll go call. So he, like a smart guy, he did. He went and called and checked, and no. So he bought long-term care insurance at the age of 76 and 78. My mother was 76 when she got it. And my father had a quintuplet bypass. My mother had breast cancer, and they both qualified.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I said. Wow, really? Yeah, my dad, I think I mentioned this last time. My dad said, yeah, when I next have a heart problem I have, I'm going to die. I won't survive after his quintuplet bypass, and they'll never pay out on him. So if you haven't thought about long-term care insurance, I would highly recommend you do that. Unfortunately, from statistics from Michael Yee from Ameriprise, the last statistics we saw online was like 50% of people don't qualify because of pre-existing health issues.
And you do want to try to get it when you're in your 50s as opposed to waiting until you're older, because once you pass that 63, 65-year mark, it skyrockets. Your premiums do. So get it while you're younger,
well,
so you can keep the premiums.
Well, my parents got it at 76 and 78. Was it expensive? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I talk to people every day. I'm going to talk to about 30 people tomorrow, actually about 50 people tomorrow in two different groups. And I can guarantee you what's the first thing they're going to say is too expensive. And you know what I come back with? Expensive to what?
Exactly.
You want to pay dollar for dollar? Or you want to pay 20 cents a dollar? Let you decide. Anyway, so Alzheimer's, a lot of people that we see, Pamela, is always dealing with, as a caregiver, most of the time it's late stage, isn't it? They kind of bypass the first and middle stage. And they eventually have to take care of mom. It's always late stage.
It is. And there's always to that huge thing for the caregiver. Do I honor my loved one by allowing them to stay in their home, which I had promised them over the wine and the nice music and the evening, the dinner, and I promise I'll never, ever put you away. I'll never put you in a home. I'll take care of you. And then they get into it and realize that late stage is extremely challenging. Yeah. The loved one doesn't sleep. They're up walking around during the night.
That's like 90% of the people that have also mentioned. Let me tell you, everybody I talk to, are you staying up late? Well, how did you know?
Oh, yes. So it's like when our babies were born and we're getting up 2 or 3 hours to do the feeding and the changing. Yes. It's that whole thing all over again, except we're no longer in our 20s or our 30s. We are usually now, the caregiver now in the state of Hawaii, the average age of a caregiver, family caregiver, is 65.
Yeah.
And so.
And another fact, right? Most of them are women.
And most of them, the majority are women. That is true. And again, you're not taking care of yourself. You're not remembering to, hey, I've got to get my rest. Or I need to be making sure I'm taking my vitamins. I need to make sure I'm eating healthy. You eat on the run. You're just doing everything on the run so that you can care for your other loved one.
Yeah. And what statistics? Like 213 or 280,000 people are caring for somebody in the state of Hawaii? Something like that.
It is. But I'm trying to remember that exact figure that we have. But
I can say the 20% of the people in it. Or more.
Now, some families do have 2 or 3 designated caregivers.
If they have more than
if they have right. Them, so if
and
that's
if they
the
share, because I always tell people equal does not mean fair does not mean equal.
No, it doesn't. Unfortunately, there's always going to be that one person who carries the majority of the load.
Yeah.
But the caregivers actually need to be taken care of.
Yeah. So what are some tips how to refresh and renew then?
Actually getting out a calendar, and every 3 to 4 weekends, you are going to cross out that Friday through Monday, and you are going to hire somebody or get another family member to be the sole caregiver. You can go in your bedroom and shut the door and just veg out for the weekend if you want, or you can go to another friend's house. It's just important, though, to shut down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's also
not a couple hours.
No, a couple of days.
No, that's what they do. A couple hours. That's what they do.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. They need more than that.
Our next week's guest is going to be a caregiver, and I'm going to tell him that. Listen to the show. This is the Pamela.
You need to actually take that calendar out, and so you can go to your family members, especially the family members who have been so strong on telling you how you should be doing things, but they're not there to help you. Oh. And you just simply say, I appreciate all your input, and I know you love mom, and I know you care for the best for her. I'm not going to be available on the weekend of the 17th to the 19th. Would you be able to help take care of her, or would you prefer to put down money to get somebody to hire? So you're not going in and just saying to them, hey, I would like to take a vacation. You're not going to do that. You're going to go in and say, I'm not available at this time. How, as a family, would you prefer that we do this?
Well, they'll say, Pamela, hey, Pamela, you're going to get the house, so why should I help you? Since mom's giving you the house.
You know, there's, if I don't get away, there's going to be two of us to take care of.
Yeah, but you're getting the house. So maybe we can split it half then. That doesn't happen a lot of times.
It doesn't, but the point is the caregiver needs to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. And more than likely, if mom has Alzheimer's, that house is going to have to be sold or otherwise used as some type of leverage so that there can be assistance with mom in the end. Because it can, right now, caregiving in the state of Hawaii goes anywhere, just foster homes. Now, I'm not talking about places where there is actually a floor or a level that has been contributed to nothing but dementia, the memory units. However, the foster homes can be anywhere from $7,000 to $14,000 a month.
I mean, we do have a very good Medicaid plan, but I always tell people you don't want to go on Medicaid. I know a lot of attorneys are doing Medicaid planning in the state of Hawaii, and I think it's to me it's unethical, because when you're purposely trying to qualify for Medicaid, it's not illegal. It's unethical. I just trained about 50 attorneys early this year about aging in place and the reverse mortgage, and none of them advocated for Medicaid. There is a place for Medicaid, however, don't get me wrong, but when you don't pay for the care, the person's paying for the care has control. And so the state of Hawaii is paying for your care, you're going to go where there's an extra bed. Yes, they passed a new law where they had the two nine-year-olds in different homes, and they were not allowed to be in the same home because of legal requirements for foster homes, I believe.
Two Medicaid.
Yeah, cannot.
One pay.
Right. So they have to have that. But they're both on Medicaid? I can't remember whether.
They already have, from my understanding, the homes already had one Medicaid person and they had the other Medicaid. So if the spouse wanted to join, they would have to pay for the full spouse deal. But, you know, when it comes to that, it is my understanding that it's becoming a little bit more enforced and strict as far as there cannot be any selling or giving away a property within that 5-year window.
I was telling somebody from a politician that they need to move that look back period of 10 years because, you know, these attorneys are planning that. Shame on you, because a lot of times they're missing the people that sign these documents to put it in an irrevocable trust with what they do. To me, it is unethical. I think down the road, you're going to see liens put on irrevocable trust because it's not, the state can do that, and I think they will going forward. So if you're listening to me out there, if you have an irrevocable trust, see about your attorney to get it off, because it is possible to do. It's not very done very often, but it is possible to do. But I think the family needs to realize that the quality of care is the most important thing.
It has been said for the last 3 to 4 years that Alzheimer's or age-related dementia is going to be the number one disease that bankrupts the healthcare system.
Oh, yeah.
And by 2025, it is projected in the state of Hawaii alone that at least 35,000 people will be diagnosed with some form of dementia.
I think it's going to be higher, to be honest with you. I think it's more like, I heard a figure of 50,000.
Well, now understand, it's going to go back to that point that 35,000 only represents 40% of people who have been diagnosed.
Right.
So it is going to be, so it's going to be much higher. However, if this is true, we all need to do our part now to not try to get around something just so we can get a free service or the Medicaid or kick it into where we can qualify for this. Because with or without this Medicaid, God forbid, when in 20 years from now, when we're turning 80, is there going to be anything there for us? Is there going to be something there to help take care of us? I was just working recently. Well, I say recently, it was about 3 years ago, with a woman who flew down from California, and she met her sister here who was living in another state, and they came here realizing mom and dad both had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. They needed to place them. They called different places. They got them placed. So they came here to do the paperwork. They get a call at 8 o'clock in the morning, the day that they were supposed to pack mom and dad up, because mom had failed to pay the long-term care insurance for 3 months, even though she had been paying on it for almost 30 years. They lost it. In the state of Hawaii, you go 1 month without paying that long-term care, you can lose your premium. And there's now other states have laws. If you've been diagnosed with a disease of dementia, then you have to be reinstated. In Hawaii, we don't have that.
Yeah. Well, Michael Yee, our financial advisor in the magazine, he said one of the biggest issues they're finding is that when people try to go on a claim, those insurance companies are trying to make it hard for you to go on a claim. Yeah. So they get to provide your documents, things like that. So he's been a big advocate for this. It is a serious issue. So what are the tips? So you said for caregivers to make sure they get at least 1 week in a month off. What other kind of tips would you recommend?
The other thing that it is so important, you don't have to train for a marathon, but it is really important that you get into some form of an exercise regimen.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be consistency of that activity. The other thing is you may not have ever been a health bug in your life, but you need to start now.
Yeah.
So you need to get away from your processed foods. You need to eat more vegetables. You need to eat more of your high fiber foods so that your system doesn't get stopped up. You need to drink plenty of water. And the one other thing caregivers need to understand is that when their loved one passes, their life has to continue. So they need to keep in control, and they need to keep formatted what they love, what is their stress release, what is it that they enjoy about life. These are the things that they need to hang on to. Now, granted, they can't maybe go golfing as much as they used to, but it's important they still golf.
Well, I have a relative that told the family, he cares for mom 6 days a week, that he needs one more day off. So he goes out. I try to go with him every once a week someplace, take him out golfing, because it's really important. You're absolutely right. Just to relieve that stress, get your mind off everything. But when you're doing everything 24/7, and getting 3 hours of sleep maximum at one time, it's very hard. And this is my auntie he's caring for, of course, but it's been very difficult.
I've had caregivers to tell me that they have allotted their time and they ended up literally in their room asleep the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just exhausted.
Well, like our close friend of ours, they're dealing with everything from paying the bills, cooking, cleaning, making sure they're safe. They have no personal life anymore.
And
their health just really goes down. I can't remember what the statistic was. I think it was for every 5 years of your caregiver, you lose 1 year of your own life expectancy. Something like that. Maybe more.
It is not uncommon that the caregiver, especially if it's a spouse, that the caregiver goes shortly after the loved one passes.
Within a year if they're that close.
And I think there's two reasons for it. And the first reason being is what we have spoke about is their immunities are shot and they get sick. Second one being they lost who they were and they lost their love of life. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing else for them to live for and to push for, and they just went.
Yeah. So what are the tips besides trying to stay healthy, take off a weekend? I know Project Donna does little things that they can call you once a week. What about support group meetings? I think that's one of the best things.
Support groups are absolutely phenomenal because caregivers, they are in the middle of the battle. And they're the very ones who can give the best tips to other caregivers. Oh, yeah. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. This is what worked for me. This didn't work so well. This worked better. So they're able to actually go and inform other caregivers. And those caregivers, they walk out with the same challenges they came in with. They just see it different.
Right. There's so many different ways. In fact, I had a very good friend of mine that tried to be really nice. Him and his two sisters live on the mainland. He came back. The two sisters didn't want to come back. And, you know, they love their parents. And both parents are bedbound by this time. And so his wife is so cute. His wife was trying to help out, trying to be nice. So they're in a bedroom. They both live in a big bedroom, both on medical beds. So they thought, well, we're in the living room. We can't hear them. They can't talk or anything. So let's put a bell. They put a bell in the room. That bell, was going off every 30 seconds to a minute. Can you change the channel? Can you turn the volume up? Can you put my toe is really cold. Can you put the blanket over my foot? It was constant. It's as funny as it sounds, it really irritated them after a while. One whole day, they took the bell away. I mean, they tried their best, but it was very heart-wrenching when at the end of the day, one sister did come back. The third child, the other sister who never came back, after both parents finally passed away, she said, I want my one-third. And boy, I tell you, the stuff hit the fan. He got all pissed off. I said, she's right. If legally it says the house is split three ways, you got to give her one-third. Doesn't make a difference. It didn't say I have to be caregive. I didn't say I have to fly back from the mainland and disrupt my life to care for mom and dad, which is so true.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. But don't you see that so often?
I do. And there's always going to be that part of the family, one or two in the family, who just, first of all, they'll say, oh, there's really nothing wrong with her. I come and I see her once a month. There's nothing wrong with her. Yeah. They just refuse to acknowledge that there's something that's really wrong. But this is where the caregiver does have to man up, be a little bit more assertive. And they have to say, well, I'll tell you what, if you're thinking there's really nothing wrong with her, why don't you take her for a week or, you know, just challenge them. Take her for 5 days. Be her caregiver for 5 days. And then let's come back and let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And at that point, the other thing is, it's really important that caregivers learn to focus on positive relationships, which means they may have to distance themselves from certain family members, not to be sassy or arrogant or non-loving or non-compassionate, but they're protecting themselves by distancing themselves from family members who would be negative and add to their stress. And it is really important that family caregivers identify that.
Yeah. Anyway, we've been talking with Pamela Ani from CG Refresh and Renew. Pamela, we didn't give you a phone number. So what's the phone number? Can they find you online, bud?
I am in the process of getting the website together. Okay. I have the domain already.
Facebook page?
I have my own personal Facebook page, but once the website goes up, then we'll have the Facebook, all of it going. It should be done in about another month.
Okay.
But the 291-5185, area code 808.
Is that a Hilo number or is that a
Hawaii number? It is number that goes to Hilo and Honolulu.
It's a cell phone number.
Correct.
Good, that's the best.
And no matter where I go, that is attached to me, 291-5185. And then also being able to, you can reach me by email at this point, pamela.scott16@aol.com.
Right. Well, we're definitely going to have you on. And but by the way, we are going to have a webinar very shortly, in a week or so. If you go to HPGS, on a YouTube channel, Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society, and her webinar will be up there in a couple of weeks. So thank you so much, Pamela. Good to see you again.
And I'll definitely keep you.
Yeah, you're on my speed dial number. Okay. Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha and live well.
Aloha.